Okay, so there was a guy who went to animal shop, pet shop, and said, "Hey, I would like 12 bees." And the pet shop owner's like, "Oh, you know, bees, that's a weird purchase." But so the pet shop counted out 13, and the customer's like, no, I just asked for 12. And the pet shop owner said, "Well, there's a freebie." not bad. Off the top of my head, right? And you're like, huh, that was interesting. Okay, Sarah. So if you look on the back of your bulletin, you'll see there's some notes here. And we're talking about connecting with Christ. And today, when we think about it, we're kind of heading into the deep weeds of the Christmas season. How many of you, Christmas is your most wonderful time of the year? It's the most. And you hear it in your head. You know. And how many of you, it's kind of neutral? You're like, eh, it's average, kind of medium. How many of you, it's like, no, not really. I prefer a different time of the year. So we get that whole thing across the board. But we're in the thick of it, and it would be prudent for us to think about Christmas. And obviously, what's the reason, purpose for the season? Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. So we have all that cliche stuff. You're watching online. Thank you so much for joining us today. But we're going to talk about not just Jesus is the reason for the season, but really talking about connecting with Christ. And I was thinking about this. I've just been started reading the book of John recently, earlier this week. I was thinking about people who connected with Christ. And if Jesus is the reason for the season, then let's think about Christ connecting. And there were some individuals, and I want to look at four individuals, hence the idea here. Anybody ever play Connect Four? Right? Who's really good at Connect Four? Nice. You have to be smarter than your opponent. Me, I'm not so good at it. But there were four individuals I want us to look at today that connected with Christ. And they connected with Christ in meaningful ways. And why? Why did they connect? The reason I'm pointing out these individuals is because I believe we can see ourselves in these individuals. So it helps me to think about, oh, that's what that looks like in their life, and that can look like that in my life. So the first person I want us to think about is John the Baptist. John the Baptist connected with Christ. Obviously, like, he was the guy that did, you know, the Jordan River and baptized people. But if you back up the train a little bit, John the Baptist was connected with Christ first and foremost out of his familial connections. John the Baptist's mom, Mary, was a cousin to Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mom. So they were like second cousins. Some of you can work out, you can correct me, second or third cousins, one of those. But they were connected by family. But even more than family, I would propose to you that they were connected by, John the Baptist was connected to Jesus, with Jesus, out of identity. Because if you think about his purpose, his design, who was John the Baptist? Why was he born? Give me a quick answer. Why was John the Baptist born? Prepare the way for Jesus, right? I mean, he's like the launching pad. He's the microphone for Jesus. I mean, that's why he was born. It's his identity. And I want to point this out to you as well, because I believe for each one of us, it is also our identity to connect with Christ. You were born with a hole in your soul. You're born with a hole in your soul. You're like, what do you mean by that? Well, if you look at everybody across all of humanity, every single human on the planet, looks for, has an interest, has some kind of passion at some point in their life. Why am I here? There's something missing. I guarantee you, every single human on the planet has said that, at least in the back of their mind, there's something missing. Because you're a designed family. Every single one of us was designed with a hole in the soul, and only Jesus meets that hole. By identity, by our divine design. You were designed to crave your creator. So John the Baptist was connected with Christ out of the core of who he was, out of his design, as are we. But I want to point this out to you. Not only are we to connect with Christ, I'm going to put these in, we are connecting with Christ, but we're also meant to connect others to Christ. So it's not just enough for us to fill the hole in the soul, but we also are designed to connect others. So John the Baptist clearly was a Christ connector. I mean, seriously, he went around and he told people, hey, Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the one. He must increase. I must decrease. In fact, John the Baptist was always pointing to Jesus. His sandals, I'm not worthy to untie the sandals on his feet. I want you to follow him. And when his disciples, we'll start talking about it in a little bit. When his disciples started to follow Jesus, he didn't get pouty and grumpy and like insecure. You know, I'm going to take my... No, he was thrilled. He's like, this is exactly why I'm here. I'm here to connect not only with Jesus, but I'm here to connect others to Jesus. And family, I want us to know that in this season, it's a fat pitch to connect others to Jesus. So when we think about connect four, let's think not only that we connect with Jesus, but we connect others to Jesus. The next person I'd like us to consider in terms of connecting with Jesus, and you can see on your notes here, this is the Samaritan woman at the well, John chapter 4. I did a long sermon on Wednesday night. Very good. It was very good. And I would encourage you to go back and look at it. You can look at it online. It's on my Facebook. But really powerful, powerful illustration of a woman connecting with Jesus. And this woman, she comes to Jesus, and the connection starts, and I love this connection, because I think sometimes we think we have to have this religious, you know, kind of transferred, really high church, very sacred, and all this meticulous, sophisticated, you know, high Jesus, you know, vestments and garments and all this stuff. And the way she connected with Jesus connected with her first and foremost, was asking for a drink of water. Just a real simple, not complicated, not sophisticated. She didn't dress up in her best clothing. In fact, she was trying to avoid all the people she could see. And the fact that he asked her for a drink of water blew her mind. And that was just the beginning. Because in this connecting with Jesus, he didn't want to just connect with her for a drink of water on the superficial. He wanted to connect with her for transformation. Because over the course of the conversation, in their connecting conversation, Jesus says to her, hey, go call your husband. And she drops her teeth because she had a lot of dentures. No, I'm just kidding. She drops her teeth. She's like, oh, I have no husband. And Jesus is like, that's right. You've had five husbands and the guy you're with now isn't your husband. I mean, you talk about connecting. Like that's, even if she didn't necessarily think that, you know. But what happens is, in the course of this conversation, he not only exposes and reveals who she is, but at the end of the conversation with Jesus, he tells her who he is. I who speak with you am the Messiah. And she's completely changed. This connecting with Christ transformed her. And how many of us in our connection with Christ have been transformed? I'm not the same. You're watching online, you're like, yeah, I've been changed. But how many of you would like more transformation? Anybody? Well, that's why, partly why we connect with Christ is for transformation. And she was changed. How was she changed? She went back and told all the men in her city, all the men, remember, she's married at least five of them. She tells all the men, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. How many of you know that's transformation? Like, she's walking transformation. But not only did she connect with Jesus, but she went back to her city and connected others to Jesus. Come and see a man. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. And it says the whole town came out and wanted to know, who's this guy? Who's this Jesus? When we connect with Jesus, it helps us connect others to Jesus. Her transformation was the springboard for the entire city coming out to Jesus. Jesus stayed with them 2 days, and this is what the city said after Jesus had been with them. We know he is the Savior of the world. How many of you know that's a strong connection to Jesus? And it happened because she was connected with. I want you to see that relationship. Connecting with Jesus helps us connect others to Jesus. And it is the season for connecting. Now here's another really great example of connecting with Jesus. And these are two brothers. I love these guys. Because we get John the Baptist, and you're like, well, I don't know that I could be like full-on John the Baptist. You know, I'm not necessarily that like voice in the wilderness eating, you know, bee honey and wearing whatever weird clothes and grasshoppers for, you know. And maybe that, and you're like, well, you know, I'm not the woman at the well. I can't totally relate to her, though I can get the transformation piece. But I like this one. We have a gentleman in the Bible. His name is Andrew. Now, most of us haven't heard of Andrew. But how many of us have heard of Peter, the disciple that walked on the water with Jesus, opened his mouth, and was like always blabber, little, little, little. If you didn't hear him in the Gospels, you might have heard of him in the book of Acts. And just for your notes, he also wrote a couple books of the Bible. So we know of Peter. Peter's kind of like this really large and in charge, big personality. But let me tell you that Andrew was initially, we read about him, he was a disciple of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist started talking about Jesus, look, behold, the Lamb of God. And I know this is the promised one. When Andrew heard John the Baptist talking about Jesus, Andrew followed Jesus. And when he started connecting with Jesus, he was like, oh my goodness, I want more. I'm not satisfied with just doing the John the Baptist thing. I like you, Jesus, and I find you simply irresistible. I know you hear the song now, right? Simply irresistible. Okay, that's a rabbit trail, but still a little bit of fun. Andrew found Jesus irresistible, wanted more. But it wasn't just that he wanted more for himself. He also went and got his brother, Peter. So Andrew connected with Jesus. He was like, I'm going to follow this guy. I believe in what he's got. Another guy that did the same thing was Philip. We don't know Philip as well, but he did the exact same thing. He heard Jesus talking, and he said, I want more. So he connected with Jesus. But not only did they connect with Jesus, both Andrew and Philip went and got their brothers. And they said, hey, come and hear this guy. We think this is the promised Messiah. We think this is the real deal. Because out of their desire for more of Jesus, they connected others to Jesus. And I want to say for every single one of us in the room, every person watching online, this is the season for more of Jesus. It's not more of pick something, wrapping paper, and that's all. I'm all for all of that. But if it becomes an obstacle or a distraction or a hurdle for more of Jesus, then we have to make that assessment and reshuffle our attention. How many of you are on that page? So more of Jesus helps us connect others to him. Now here's the last one I want you to think about. The last connect four. We got John the Baptist, hole in the soul, that's for all of us. We got the Samaritan woman, transformation, that's for all of us. We got Andrew, and we got Philip, and that's wanting more of Jesus, that's for all of us. But here's the last one, and I think this is the most obvious person that connected with Jesus. And that's his mother, Mary. Mary, she was in the literal sense of the word. It doesn't get more concrete, tangible, and like physically connected than being pregnant. How many of you moms in the room would say yes and amen? Right? And then if you're like, well, you know, I'm a guy, so I don't really know, but vicariously through my wife, I saw that connection. I mean, the umbilical cord, and that's all I have to say about that topic. Connects. But I would say this with Mary. I would say, and you look at her life, and I love her connection with Jesus, because first and foremost, her connection with Jesus happened because of Holy Spirit. We know that. And in Luke, it says, Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you will conceive and bear birth. And for us to connect with Jesus requires Holy Spirit and an openness to Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Jesus says it in John 14, Holy Spirit bears witness of me. Holy Spirit will always connect us with Jesus, always points to Jesus. Is always Holy Spirit's end game is always Jesus. And for us to have more and more and more of Jesus and have a passion, interest, and appetite for Jesus, we need to say yes to Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit, overshadow. Yes, Holy Spirit, work in my soul. Yes, Holy Spirit, calibrate my appetites. Calibrate, to work on my attention. Help me in this season. Remind me in this season. I want to help me to keep Jesus front and center. And for Mary, Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and that was the beginning of her connection with Jesus. But I like her connection with Jesus because it wasn't just kind of a quickie little happen, you know, accidental thing. This connection with Jesus, Jesus lived in her for 9 months. She had him. She went through child delivery. And then you watch her over the course of his life. She stayed connected with him. Right? I mean, she's his mom. And I don't know of a stronger connection than a mother and a child. I'm serious. I mean, like, flat out, it is the full ultimate. All the moms in the room are like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're nodding our heads. Couldn't agree more. And so you see her connecting, even in the temple when he's 12 years old, and they forgot him. She's the one that goes back and is like, what are you thinking? We need to stay connected. You know, you can hear the panic in her voice, right, as a mom. And then you watch him. The very first miracle that Jesus ever did was because of her instigation. She says to him, water into wine. Hey, they run out of wine. And I love this. Woman, my time is, if woman, I'm like, really? To your mom? Woman? There needs some adjustment there, right? My boys started calling me woman. There'd be something to brought you into this world. Not quite, but you know what I mean? I'm serious. Woman. I give him some woman. Not quite. But you know, I'm just being cheeky. But you watch him over the course of his ministry. She stays connected with him. Your mother and your brothers are waiting for you. Who's my mother and my brothers? Even at the when he's on the cross, she's there. Because he says to John when he's on the cross, here, take care of my mother. I mean, you talk about connection with Jesus. That's a continuous, deep, intimate connection. May our lives, you're like, well, I don't know. I'm not like a mom. You know, I'm more masculine. I don't care, but we can stay connected with Christ deeply over the course of our lives, connecting with him. But family, none of us would be connecting with Jesus today if Mary had not connected him to the world. She said yes. She sacrificed. She gave major sacrifice to connect Jesus and say yes to Heavenly Father, yes to Holy Spirit, and yes to letting Jesus come alongside, come into her, and be expressed through her saying sacrificially yes. So her willingness to connect with Jesus for every single human on the planet now, we all can look back on the physical existence of Jesus being here because Mary said yes. We connect with Jesus. We relate to him. It helps. How many of you, it helps you to have God in the flesh, like instead of just this ethereal floaty, it's because Mary said yes, connecting and saying, okay. So we get to connect to Jesus in that physical expression because of her surrender and yielding. So family, as we think about today, connecting with Jesus helps us connect others to Jesus. And I gave these four examples because I believe in our own lives, we can connect. We can connect for transformation. We can connect out of identity. We can connect because we want more. We can connect out of that deep intimacy. And that's essentially what I believe God has us here for, not only in us, but also through us to others. So as we finish today, I want to ask you to look at, the ushers have, I have two things for you to do. Two. Sorry, that's the German two. This is the American two. Sorry. And you're like, what's with the German, the rabbit trail? We can talk about it later. And Aaron, can you guys talk with me after church? Just for a quick second. I got an idea. Float it by you. Thanks. Another rabbit trail. So the ushers are going to pass out. I know you're like, it's scary following you, Sarah. Ushers are going to pass out to you. Thank you so much for helping me with this. Application. What do we do with this message? It's nice. It's compelling. It's sweet. It's warm. We like the idea of connecting. But I'm going to ask you to do two things for this whole connecting. One is connect with Jesus. And the second one is connecting others to Jesus. So this first yellow sheet of paper is connecting with Jesus. And I'm going to ask you, I'm doing an experiment, a personal experiment. I'm going to ask you to join me. I'm in the second week. Today starts week two of this experiment. And you're like, I don't want to be a guinea pig. This is a good experiment. I think you'll like it. I have some friends who are already doing it, and they're like, ooh, this is really good. I like it. Here's what I want to ask you to do to connect with Jesus. And this is a conversation, I call it a conversation experiment. So giving God 3 minutes of undivided attention 4 times a day for 2 weeks. This is what I'm asking you to do. This is connecting with Jesus. And I'm asking you to do it. I get it's Christmas, but family, all the more reason to focus in on Jesus. So what I'm asking you to do is 4 times a day, and I'd ask you to do them at the same time every day. Some of you, I don't know your schedules. You know your schedules. But the purpose is not 4 times like once an hour or, you know, every 15 minutes. But what I'm doing is in the morning, I take 3 minutes and I close off everything. I put my phone on silent. I don't let myself get distracted. And I focus and ask Holy Spirit, help me to focus on Jesus for these 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Not longer, not less, at the minimum, 3 minutes. And then I do it again. I've set my alarm on my phone. I set it. I do it in the morning when I get up for like my prayer quiet time. That's part of that. And then I set my alarm for 1 p.m. That's my time. And I do it after lunch because sometimes in lunch I'm meeting with people and it's not as convenient. I do it then, 1 p.m., 3 minutes. Then I set my alarm on my phone. We have a couple alarms on our phones. That's super convenient, right? So I set it again for 5 p.m., and I take 3 minutes at 5 p.m., and do just Jesus, no distractions, not my grocery list, not my Christmas show, what do I have to, none of that. I set that off to the side. I might have a piece of paper to write stuff down in case I forget it, because that's its own distraction. But then I do it again before I go to bed, 3 minutes. Now, 4 times a day, 3 minutes for 2 weeks. And I'm asking you to participate in this experiment to connect with Christ. And particularly in this season, because what is today? Is today the 8th? 8 plus 14 is 22, leading up to Christmas, right? And this helps us to keep Jesus front and center, the reason for the season, right? So I would ask you to try this for 2 weeks. 4 times a day, every day, a conversation. And then what you can see here is in the 3 minutes, here's some possible options. You can read through those. And then how would God converse with us? What would God say? So in that time, you're listening to God, you're talking with God, you're being present with God. It might be you feel Holy Spirit leading you to sing a worship song. Oh, come, let us adore him. Okay, so take 3 minutes and do that. And you don't have to set up some kind of cycle or routine. It is time with Jesus. And the best way, I think, to connect with Jesus more than anything is time. Time together. Time, attention. And you know this as well as I do. When somebody comes up to you, Sharon was in the back there, and when all the lights were down, we're doing praise and worship, and I just wanted to snuggle over and stand next to her because I wanted a little bit of time. I wasn't trying to interrupt, but I like that time. It's important. It's very, and by giving time in a season when we don't have any time, all the more way to connect with Christ. Tracking with me? And so at the end here, I would suggest that you document at least once a day what's happening during the experiment. I have a little notebook that I've been writing down every day. What do I sense in my heart? What is God saying to me? And sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes I don't, and it's okay. You don't have to make it like some kind of outcome-driven experiment. Document, and then I would say this, document the cumulative effect. So over the course of 2 weeks, what does that look like at the end? What did you observe? What were your experiences? And again, I say an experiment because I think for every single one of us, this is different and unique. I'm not wired up like you are. You're not wired up like me. But time with Jesus, connecting with Jesus, can look and be an amazing gift for you in this season. And then after the experiment, I would invite you, please, to email me with a summary of your experience, what you found helpful, What was frustrating? What are some suggestions? How did you adapt? Insights? Anything you'd like to communicate with me. And I put my email address at the end there. How many would be interested, open to this experiment and trying it? 3 minutes, 4 times a day for 2 weeks. Fantastic. Give it a whirl. Maybe you decide I'll start tomorrow, Monday. Why not? Got nothing to lose. So that's us connecting with Jesus. But I would also ask you to do this, connecting others to Jesus. So over the course of this Christmas season, I'd ask you to ask Holy Spirit, pick four people. Four people in your life, might be friends, family, I don't know, but four people you would pray over in this Christmas season that they would connect with Jesus. How many of you can think of four people? I'm going to just give you a pause for a little moment to write them in. Just write in four people. Might be your mom, might be a coworker, might be a cousin. All right. Connecting with Jesus to connecting to connect others with or to Jesus, for connecting others to Jesus. A lot of prepositions in there, right? So I'm going to pray for us, and then I want to minister some verses. And Aaron, don't forget to hang out with me, okay? Dear Jesus, I pray for each person in the room. I pray for each person watching right now in this season. I pray that you would help us to connect with you, that you would increase our appetite, our desire for you. Pray for each person who's doing this experiment. I pray grace upon grace, that you would help them. They would sense you more than they ever have before. I pray for the four people that we are lifting up to you. I pray for each of these individuals that you would work in their hearts to connect with you, Jesus, better and more deeply than they ever have before. Those areas where they would have hindrances and disappointments and things where they say, no, I don't want Jesus. I pray that you would, your love would soften and tenderize those places and spaces. Thank you for helping us to connect with you, Jesus. Experience your love and never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.